Just a note, this series of sermons comes out of the fact that perhaps Christmas has been confused in many of our minds. And what we prepare for at Christmas can be very confusing also. Therefore, this series of sermons tries to put in perspective the traditions of Christmas, where they came from, and whether they're really Christmas or something else. Last Sunday, we discovered that in order to try to change the pagan celebrations of winter solstice and the Roman Saturnalia by Christians, the Roman Bishop Julius I in 350 AD designated December 25th to be the day to recognize and celebrate the birth of Christ, the Nativity. His thinking was to divert Christians away from celebrating the pagan traditions to that of celebrating the Nativity. The plan was at best the continuation of celebrating the two holidays side by side, and often the pagan traditions overtook the Nativity. All too often, pagan winter solstice traditions became confused and thought to be Christian traditions and Christmas traditions. Now, well into the 19th century, Christmas had few similarities with that of today. It wasn't until then that Washington Irving and John Pintard, Clement Moore and Thomas Mast introduced St. Nicholas to the American Christmas. Another influence during this time was Charles Dickens and his book, The Christmas Carol. These influences, along with the German family-oriented Christmas traditions, eventually added to the traditions of the past and began to change the emphasis of Christmas in America. Now, there became three major conflicting interests for this holiday. The remaining pagan traditions of winter solstice, the Christian Nativity, and now you will see a secular commercial element which would center around the figure of the American Santa Claus. It is thought that the origins of Santa Claus began back in the 3rd century A.D. with the birth of the real St. Nicholas. He was born in or around 200 AD in the city of Patara in Asia Minor, or what now is Turkey. In reality, what we historically know about St. Nicholas is very limited and very little. Although we do know that he was born into a very wealthy family. We also know that when he was very young, his parents died, leaving him the inheritance of great wealth, which he proceeded to give away to the poor. He became a monk, and by the age of 17 entered the priesthood. In his early 20s, he was chosen to be Archbishop of Myra. Nicholas must have been an extraordinary person of great compassion, wisdom, and spirituality. For throughout history, many groups have chosen him to be their patron saint. He became the patron saint to children, orphans, sailors, fishermen, and bankers. Both Greece and Russia adopted him as their national patron saint. Although little is known about Nicholas, there are many legends about him. There are legends about him saving the lives of sailors and fishermen from the perils of the sea. Another legend has him restoring life to three murdered young children. But one of the most enduring legends is about a friend of his who had lost all of his money, leaving him and his family destitute. He had three daughters, the oldest of which was of marriage age, but there was no money for a dowry, which meant that she would probably have to go and be sold into slavery. Late one night, Nicholas went by the house and threw a bag of gold through an open window of his destitute friend. This gave her the dowry needed to marry. He did this for the other two daughters also. The three bags of gold became the symbol of St. Nicholas. And this story many of you know. When he became the patron saint of bankers, they took his symbol of three bags of gold as their own. And that is why, until this very day, many banks and pawn shops have three gold balls as their symbol. Now, Nicholas died on December the 6th, in the late 340s or early 350s. This beloved saint was not forgotten, for the church since then has observed December the 6th, coming up this week, as St. Nicholas Day. In some traditions, on the eve of St. Nicholas Day, children set food out for Nicholas and straw for his donkey. And the next morning, the obedient children, in return, find candy and toys. Today, in several countries, gift-giving occurs on St. Nicholas Day, December the 6th. Another influence to what we know as Santa Claus happened several centuries after St. Nicholas. The Duke of Bohemia in Bohemia was born in 907. Upon his father's death, the young 15-year-old Duke became one of the leaders of Bohemia. Now, this young Duke was particularly sensitive to the poor. On Christmas Eve, he and his pages distributed food and clothing to the poor. At the age 22, his brother killed him for the power of the throne. But stories and songs linger on about his goodness. And we still sing one of these songs today. Good King Wenceslas. Both St. Nicholas and the Duke of Bohemia seem to be responsible for giving the season the sense of goodwill, compassion, and given to the needy and children. St. Nicholas, though, seemed to have the most influence. In Germany, a St. Nicholas figure, by Nachmann, a Christmas man, was the helper to the Christ child who together distributed gifts to children. Other countries had their own versions of St. Nicholas. In France, it was Pierre Noël, In Russia, it is Father Frost who distributed toys in January. In England, Father Christmas is a tall, thin, elderly man with a long beard and who distributes toys from his large sack. In Holland, he is known as Sinterklaas, who brought gifts on December the 6th. While in other countries, they kept the name St. Nicholas. In the United States, the early influence of the Dutch in New York was the beginning of much of our cherished seasonal celebration and the tradition of Santa Claus. As early as 1773, colonial newspapers reported that there was a tradition of a Saint A period clause celebrated in the homes of some German and Dutch immigrants, having its roots with Dutch immigrants. The New York Historic Society had as its patron saint Saint Nicholas. Its members began the tradition of Sinterklaas giving gifts to children at Christmas. First indication. Santa Claus was commonly interpreted as Santy Claus, S-A-N-T-Y-C-L-A-U-S. In 1808, Washington Irving wrote about Santa Claus in his book, A History of New York, and then in his 1821 edition, he wrote the following about Santa Claus. Quote, "Riding over the tops of trees in that selfsame wagon wherein he brings his yearly presents to children, in smoke from his pipe spread like a cloud overhead," he twisted it in his handbag, "and laying a finger beside his nose, gave a very significant look. Then mounting his wagon, he returned over the treetops and disappeared." End of quote. 1 year later, in 1822, the Episcopal Bishop of New York and Hebrew professor at the General Theological Seminary, Clement Moore, wrote the timeless poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." This whimsical poem was said to be partially inspired by his hack driver, who fit Moore's description of St. Nicholas. The poem was Moore's contribution to a family Christmas Day gathering of children. Moore himself didn't pursue publishing the poem, but it was picked up by a family member or a maid and sent to the Troy Sentinel newspaper, who published it the following year. It was reprinted in two almanacs in 1824, and by 1849, it had spread everywhere. One story is that until the day of his death, Thomas Moore was embarrassed to be known for that trivial poem, and his name was not published with it until 1844. In 1863, a standardized image began to take form when Thomas Nast published his drawing in Harper's Weekly. Our modern-day image of Santa Claus is attributed to artist Haddon Sundblom, who portrayed him as being rotund and dressed in very elegant and plush clothing. And he painted this for the Coca-Cola Company in 1931. Now, this portrayal is in stark contrast to other St. Nicholas figures around the world. He became a symbol of prosperity and far from the example of the original Saint Nicholas. I can best illustrate this by a letter written to Santa some years ago and published in the Sun Papers. Although I lost the original, I still remember that it went something like this. Dear Santa, my name is Susan. I don't think you know who I am because last year I wrote you and asked for a doll and a slinky for my little brother Joey. You must have been so busy that you forgot us. I understand. But my little brother thinks you don't like us. I know you are busy and may not have enough gifts for everyone. You don't have to bring me anything, but please find something for Joey. Signed, Susan. Was this the intent of the original Saint Nicholas? Even though Santa Claus brings out the giving in all of us through programs like Toys for Tots, there are those who continually fall through the cracks. Therefore, like so many things in life, Santa Claus has mixed messages in his bag and sleigh. This is not the message of the Nativity. For the message of Christmas is that God's gift of love extends to all, regardless of wealth and status in life. To cloud this message with an overemphasis on secularism and commercialism takes away any notion of the message of the Nativity. I was reminded of this just recently. A couple of weeks ago, there was a posting on Facebook which had in bold letters, "Let's keep Christ in Christmas." Those letters, those words were surrounded by a caricature of Santa Claus as if he was Christ. In another posting, the same message, but had Santa and Jesus pictured side by side as if they were a new godly team. The problem becomes one of confusing the pagan winter solstice and the mainly secular Santa Claus with the term Christmas, which means a mass. Celebrating the good news of the Nativity. Now, as we prepared during this Advent season, the emphasis for the Christian is to place the other traditions of the season into their proper perspective as we celebrate the birth of Christ, which gives the true meaning of Christmas. It's a matter of putting it all into perspective. What is important? That's the message today. Amen.